All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got the Raptors back in action tonight.
Whoa.
The Leafs back in action tonight. How are we feeling?
What the hell is that? Is that like a Snuggie or a...
I have draped myself in velvet. So I ordered a...
What the hell is that thing?
I ordered a velvet
tracksuit.
Are
you into witchcraft or something?
No. It is the most comfortable tracksuit you'll ever...
Dude, I'm sorry. That thing is whore awful.
What are you talking about?
What is that?
It's got the pants and everything. Like,
oh, my God.
Stop it, Noodles. You're
kidding me. What are
you
talking about?
You're kidding me.
This is the most comfortable tracksuit you will ever.
That's a Halloween costume from 5 years ago.
I'm George Costanza. I have draped myself in velvet. It
is
so comfortable.
Else happened there with Costanza? He just said, I'm done. I'm not living anymore. Like, I've given up. That's also what came with that. If we want to bring the full context of the velvet suit episode with Costanza, it was because he was dating someone at the time who said, go ahead, mail it in. Just be a fat slob who lives at home with their parents and wear velvet all day.
It's pretty much what I am right now. I mean, when you look at it, we're at home. We just go through the same routine. I figured, you know what? I was zooming around online, and found this.
How much did that cost you?
Yes, because it's, you know, it's not cheap.
$500.
No, I don't. I would never spend $500 on a tracksuit.
You have to get your wife. You have to get your wife to buy you those Woodbridge Geppetto ninja shoes to go with that. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
They look. Trust me, it might be old school, but they
Woodbridge
look like ninja shoes.
Oh, Woodbridge, you mean like little slip-ons?
They're like little ninja shoes that Italian dudes used to wear back in the day. They look like ninja shoes. They're little.
Did they
Geppetto.
Have holes in the front?
No, they're just little black slippers with like a beige sole. They look like ninja shoes, but they were little Geppetto Italian boots. You got to wear. You look like you're in like, what was that mafia movie with your boys? All the guys.
Goodfellas. The guys from Goodfellas wore
these. No, the Tony Soprano, the Sopranos. That's
yeah.
Like,
you do. You look like Paulie. You look like Paulie. You need some chest hair for Paulie Walnuts to really pull that off.
I know. I'll have to fire that up. But honestly, it's so comfortable when
Dude,
I put it
your
on.
Your wife is never letting you wear that out of the house. I know,
I
Steph.
Would wear it.
She would never let you wear that with her outside of the house.
I would have no problem wearing this out for dinner. Like, it's very. If
you wear that out to dinner, not drive-through Noodles. You call, you put your name on a list, you show up at an appropriate time, and you are seated in a place with lighting and other human beings. You would wear a velvet suit.
I'm not going to put it this way. I have a young family. We're not going to Soto. We're not going to, you know, all of the steakhouses downtown. I'm not wearing this to Harbor 60 because I don't go there, but I would if I had the opportunity. If I would probably go to like Montana's or Jack Astor's or something like this as a family with this on.
I will
because
say.
It's casual.
It looks remarkably comfortable. I will give you
it's
that.
It's butter. It's butter.
It looks like it might be the most comfortable thing you could possibly put on. But it is making such a statement that you just don't care. You really don't care. And you realize we're on TV right now.
See the pants
like
again.
Tens
Stand
of
up,
thousands of
the
people are
again.
Watching.
Yeah, like,
but they got the gold buttons and everything. Like, they're
oh my god, what a loser!
I guess I'm stuck with the velvet fog.
I love that you are wearing a full-out velvet suit. I can't believe you're wearing that, but I support it because you're your own man, and that's what matters.
It's just comfortable.
It is comfortable.
It came in the mail today. I had ordered it months ago, and it came today. I threw it on. And it just gravitated, it melted to me. I was like, this is the most comfortable tracksuit I've ever had.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to change that. Sorry.
No.
I am going to change because I have to do TV and stuff later, and I'm not going to be on Geno's That's Hockey and Sports Center.
Then we'll let you go 3 minutes early to change, but you're wearing that the whole show.
I'll change it to the 6 o'clock hour.
6:45, you can change, but you got to wear that the rest of the show. You have to.
I want to know what the hell
brand name that is. Tell me, is that like Byway or is that Versace?
No. This is it's a brand. It's a higher end. It's like, you know, not a Versace, but it's a solid, solid put.
It's
a,
I will it's say this.
It's quality. I'm not going to wave at you and the arm falls off or anything like that.
I cannot believe you're wearing it, but I support it and I love it. And you know what? Because we are a team on this show.
Right.
I'm not trying to top you on anything, but I made a note of something that I did earlier today that maybe could be considered equally as embarrassing. Not embarrassing. That's strong. I don't mean that. But it's a weird move. It's a weird move what I pulled off today. I think O might appreciate this. I feel like you are going to goof on this, Noodles. So we're about halfway through February now, and the Genesis is ongoing, and the golf tournaments are starting to pick up, and I think, you know, the days are getting a little bit later, and we're about 2 months away from teeing it up again. And as a result, I'm really getting the itch, like most golfers in this country, getting the itch, jumping online, starting to basically take some inventory on what I'm going to need to start the golf season, golf balls, golf gloves, whatever. So I was going through my storage room earlier today, and I was just looking through the golf bag to see what I have, and I got a pair of shoes that I've never worn before. Beautiful pair of G4 shoes that we got towards the end of the season. Unreal. Can't wait to rock them. I put them on this morning and started hitting chips in my basement.
Come on.
I did. And thankfully, my wife wasn't home, because I think if she walked in on me, she either would have fainted out of embarrassment or laughed her ass off to the point where she'd be hospitalized, because she'd think I was such a loser.
Dude, and it's just a natural thing to do at this time of year. I know Noodles doesn't do it. He would do nothing of the sort. But I always, at my condo in Toronto, in my little place up in Collingwood, in the living room, I have a putter, a driver, and a 5-iron, just like to grab your grip. You put your grip on it, you get a little waggle, you do the backswing. It drives my wife crazy. She wants to smash one over my head and say, because she always says, this does not belong in the living room. And I say, honestly, what's the harm? But every time I go grab a glass of water, anything from the fridge, I grab my putter, take the putter head cover off, couple putting strokes, and she's just like, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen
in my life.
It's
such a golf nerd move.
It's comfort, though.
It is comfort.
But let me ask both of you, did you ever walk around when you were younger with your hockey gloves on?
Yeah.
A new pair of gloves to kind of work them in or anything like that?
Dude, I sat in my basement nonstop, and I would tape my stick and then wreck it and retape it, have my gloves on, tie my skates up, new laces. I always try to tell parents, if your kid doesn't love hockey, then don't even worry about what's going to happen in the future. Because I generally find the guys that make it, when they're kids, they absolutely love it beyond anything.
Yeah, they're hockey nerds. We all were. We all were hockey nerds to a point where, you know, we lived, we breathed it. We make fun of, not we don't make fun of it, but everyone makes fun of the John Tavares picture with the you know, the Leaf sheets and sleeping in them and that. We all had things like that, you know, growing up, where you got a new, for a goalie, you got a new glove, you got a new blocker, you got a pair of pads. Like, you're sleeping with them that night. Like,
I came home from school every day, and I watched a video cassette. I would put it in and watch it every day. And honestly, Jamie, it was a big part of the way I thought about hockey. And it was called Wayne Gretzky, Hockey My Way. And it was like taught you saucer passes. It taught you like two-on-ones and different passing plays, shooting the puck on the goalie. And it honestly became, I watched it every day. I was obsessed with it. I was obsessed with Gretzky, and I was obsessed with Hockey My Way. And if I could download it right now, I would find it and watch it. I thought that was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's such a good point. I mean, not to sound like an old guy yelling at the clouds, but I would assume that's video games now for younger kids. They want to play video games, which is fine. That can allow you to love the sport as well. But you're right. Oh, I mean, every kid I knew had a Rock'em Sock'em video and watched them 45,000 different times. I've heard of that Gretzky one. I had the Bobby Orr highlight reel tape. Remember that one where it was like his greatest plays? And
I had one that was tough.
Watch it all the time.
Yeah, I had one that was tough because my parents bought me for Christmas one year. I don't even know if you remember this goalie, because I don't know if he played in the NHL. Or Jim Park was his name. He was a lefty goalie, and he created a goalie video, but it was a little bit lower budget, so he was mic'd, and he was out there making moves. Like, so when you're making moves, he's like huffing and getting up and it was brilliant. But when I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, a bit tough. Maybe the production's a little bit tough. But I love that video. We all had something that was so special to us back then. Whether
and didn't
it was,
know any better. Didn't
no,
know
that
like
was
there was
your
no 4K
life.
Back then. No. You know, now of course if you were to watch it today, you'd be like, man, that's pretty grainy, and that's like guy had $12 for production costs, and it wasn't exactly what we would call, you know, broadcasting standards of 2021, but it was perfect. It's all you needed, it's all you wanted. And we also, I mean, again, this is really dating ourselves, but I remember being a kid and asking my dad, be like, who are the Leafs playing tonight? They're in St. Louis. What time does the game start? 8:00. What channel is it on? Not televised tonight. And, like, you couldn't understand that today. The idea that a Leaf game cannot be seen on TV. But there were, like, 10 games a year that they just didn't televise.
Yeah.
Like, just
dude,
not on TV.
I don't remember that. I only, oh, like, yeah. I have a time in history where I don't even... I just remember full-fledged, I couldn't stay up on Saturday night past the first period with my, and I was real young, lying on the floor in the basement with my dad watching the Leafs. And then it's just fast forward right to junior where I really got into the Leafs again. And I was watching games like on with Bobby Mack and James Duthie in my basement of my billet's house with their son.
Right.
I don't remember them saying... I don't ever remember a game not being available.
It used to just not be televised. Games would not be televised.
We'd have to get Bonesy on to talk about that.
Well, they're on the radio.
It was. It was radio, but it was never TV.
Yep.
It was, you know, on a Tuesday night, you know, me growing up in Edmonton, it was the Oilers-Hartford Whalers. That game wasn't televised. It
wasn't on TV.
You'd hear about it. You'd listen to it on the radio if you wanted. There was a guy named Rod Phillips. And if not, you read about it in the paper. Yeah, the Oilers won last night. Well,
yep.
Okay. Or
Gretzky
you know,
had 9
Leafs.
Points. That would have been fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were just flat out, like, I don't think there was, I don't know the TV rights and all that, but I don't think there was, like, packages that gave you all
the games.
No, that was it.
There was, hockey
it.
Night. You knew the Leafs were playing on every Saturday night.
Right.
And I think Global had the rights where they would play, you know, a certain amount of games, but it wasn't what it was. It wasn't as lucrative. The cost were exorbitant, I guess, to the point where they weren't going to fly in production teams or whatever. And, I mean, I'd have to look it up. I may not have the exact facts, you know, straight, but I know there were games that were not televised. Like, that is a fact, 100%.
Right.
Was it 8 to 10 a year? I'm not sure. But, again, it's just something that I guess we're lucky enough to not worry about. You know, like, the Leafs are playing tonight, and we're going to watch it.
Well,
furthermore, there's other teams. There's two California teams playing. We can watch that game. Like, and watching teams outside of your market was not available at any point. Like, there was no doubleheader on Saturday nights up until the 90s, I think was. You know, it was basically you watched the Leaf game and that was it. Like, nothing else was on.
We are lucky. We're spoiled.
That's
because
awesome.
You're right. Like, last night, I watched the Leaf game. And then if you're lucky enough to have access to two screens, I watched Calgary and I watched Edmonton play. You know, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Calgary, Vancouver.
Yep.
And you're kind of, it's not, you know, hey, the clicker, you're flicking back and forth. It's like one's on a computer, one's on your TV, or vice versa. You can stream it on your phone. Like, there is access now to see everything, which I think it's overkill, but I love it.
I love it.
I mean, that's
it's great.
I'm
dude, I can't stop looking at this tracksuit. You have the full right to walk up to somebody and just say, why don't you shut your mouth? And they'll
like
do nothing.
Tough guy?
Yeah, like, it's just... Well, that is not exactly what I was just mentioning, but there's George Costanza.
Yeah,
there's no intimidation factor. I have an inside source on who's in the house that might have had that picture that may have sent it around TSN.
My shoulders are looking a little thin there.
Boy, a little bit thin.
I got to get in the gym.
But yeah, you don't want to be Costanza. You want to be.
You got to be Italian guy from Woodbridge. Like, you just go up to somebody and say, "Shut up."
The only
and
thing
give
I,
me that or whatever. Like, you're a boss right now.
The only thing I guess I made a mistake on is I was hoping for the zipper front.
Yeah, you need that.
Because if you get a zipper front, then you can control the chest hair. You can control, you know, the type of temperature coming in. It is a little hot right now.
Doesn't
I will
it just
admit.
Soak up the sweat, though, too? Like, that thing is
oh
going to be humming by 7
God.
O'clock.
Covered in duck butter, just the whole outfit.
Which, as again, I am someone that needs to get my act together here, because I don't know if dry cleaners have even been open during this whole stay-at-home thing. It is? Okay.
They have. Oh, yeah, for
sure. Support local, shout out. I got to go through with that because I just have no concept
clean
of
no clean shirt.
It smells. Like, it's awful, man. Like, my wife said that to me the other day. She's like, can you clean this stuff? Like, I've been wearing the same shirt for, like, 11 months. It's disgusting. But I'm not in the office or anything. I'm not coming across people.
Are you – you're not lucky shirt guy. Like, I can see Joe from the Bridge now that the Leafs have been winning. Like, oh, I wore that shirt on Saturday's game, and oh, I better play it again, or I better wear it again and sit at this spot on the couch because they won. You're not, like, crazy fan like that, are you?
No, not even close. I'm not superstitious in any way when it comes to that. I'm just talking even – like, what I'm wearing now, I put on at 3:30 and I take off at 6:55. You know, like, I'm in the house. I'm not walking around in a suit jacket or a you know, dress shirt or whatever. But, you know, you got a rotation of clothes. And, like, T-shirts and stuff I'll wash a lot. But, like, my dress shirts probably deserve some attention,
yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, the white dress shirt's got a little yellow.
Yeah.
But there's some sweat involved.
It's
and
gross.
Stuff. You're right.
Like, if I was in the office, I would never put on this shirt. And meanwhile, I'm like, meh, whatever. Downstairs.
I know. We got to get to the game, but the last thing I'll say is I don't know how you if you've witnessed this, but I sent you guys a note the other day. I know a guy who's a smoker, and he wears one of those disposable masks, and it's supposed to be blue, and the outside of it was yellow. The outside. Can you imagine what the inside
looked
like?
It must just be a different shade we've never seen before. It should be studied somewhere.
Yeah,
like, that thing should be sent to a university and studied.
Can you imagine some of the masks that are going around these days?
Just picture the guy with the white beard that's brown around his whole yip and his chin. What does that guy's mask look like? And you know exactly the guy I'm talking about.
He's hotboxing himself with cigarette smoke.
Yeah, it's just a nice trimmed white beard, and it's yellow around his yip and all on his chin.
Can you imagine smoking a filterless cigarette with a mask on? What is going on behind that mask?
It's horrifying.
It is horrifying, but I don't think anything could survive in there. Like, COVID doesn't have a shot.
No.
You got a filterless cigarette and a mask?
Yeah, no. If you're dart coffee breath inside the mask, after a week you don't need the mask, you can't get COVID.
It's the equivalent of being vaccinated.
You just vaccinated yourself.
Yeah, you're vaccinated. You're good.
You just stand with no gear on the corner of the street and say, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, whatever you got. Yeah.
I'll fight it.
Can you imagine if that was like, hey, we're a little low on vaccinations. The CDC has recommended for smokers to pull the filter off.
Yeah. Or anybody with a white beard, they first say, let me check your mustache. And if it's all yellow, they say, you're good.
You're immune. You've got the antibodies.
Next.
All right, we'll come back and get into the Leaf game last night. Tee up the game tonight. The Raptors are back in Milwaukee. Rays coming up. There was a big signing in baseball last night. We'll touch on that. Pitchers and catchers, the whole nine down in Dunedin. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Gotta love the hockey community. Our buddy Kenny Daniels in Detroit just let me know he's got a copy of Hockey My Way, and he's going to shoot it to me in the mail.
Wow.
How cool is
love
that?
Kenny.
Shout out to our buddy Kenny Daniels. Yeah. One of the
love
best.
Kenny.
We love him.
He's the best. Love he that is. Guy.
Yep. That's great. That is awesome, man, because that's vintage stuff, man. Like, it's tough. Would they
I got a Wayne Gretzky. I go antiquing, and I got a Wayne Gretzky lunch pail. It's like the signature Gretzky lunch pail. It's got the thermos. It's got the little lunch pocket in it. Mint.
We got a guy wearing a velvet suit, another guy that's going antiquing.
Yeah, what is going on?
What
Pets'
is
heads
happening
are falling.
On
we
the
haven't
show.
Even gotten to the Leafs win last night. We haven't done anything other than waste 20 minutes of people's time. But
right.
We've
well,
had
listen,
some fun.
It was a bounce back win. I got to be honest, Ottawa, they
played hard.
They
man.
Played well. They played hard. They were the better team in the first. And I thought in the third, I thought the Leafs came alive and just, you know, were playing well and pushing. two guys stood out for me last night. Freddie Anderson played really well. Like, he made some really quality stops, especially in the third. And I think that was clearly something that was needed because you couldn't lose that game. You couldn't give up a softie in the third. It's a tie game. You lose in overtime again. Heads are exploding. And Matthews scoring again is what sticks out to me. Like, from a positive standpoint, he has 14 goals on the season now, 10 at even strength. 10 even strength goals. He is just a machine, man. Like, I expect he scores tonight. I fully expect he scores again tonight.
I've never seen anything like it as far as a guy. It's like the majority of the games, I don't know how many we have a year on TSN on the TV, but it's like he scores almost every game every game I watch. I'm like, this guy, if he doesn't score in a game, it's weird. It's like the consistency this guy has, it's unbelievable. And I'll throw one more guy at you that I thought stood out. And usually when you have a game like this, you turn it around on the score sheet rather quickly after. And I thought John Tavares was around the net. He had some opportunities. I felt he was skating through the neutral zone. And you can tell he had a bit of a hate on for something, whether it was his own play. He just wanted to get better. And he was pissed off and he played like it. And I thought he stood out because he had that one opportunity where he went on his backhand. I don't necessarily love that play, but he's a better player than I am, and he tried it. But I thought he was just around the net. He was on the puck. He was in the corners. He was in front of the net, and he easily could have had a couple last night. So I wouldn't be shocked if he has a big night tonight.
It's
other than that, you
him.
Mentioned it, Matthew, Freddie Anderson, and have they named who they're going to start in net?
Yeah, I think I just got an email. I think it's Hutchinson. But again, I didn't get an email from like the Leafs. I got an email internal saying we believe it's Hutchinson. So why wouldn't you? Like, you know, you have to. Freddie Anderson can't play. I mean, he can, but you don't want to play him five games in seven nights. This isn't Edmonton where Mike Smith was hurt and you had nobody else. You had Troy Grosonek driving up from California on waivers. Like, yeah, Jack Campbell's injured. This is the reason why you signed Hutchinson. Like, he has NHL experience. Yeah, it didn't go so well for him, you know, first time around with the Leafs. But how about your team is different, too? How about you have some responsibility in front of him and play a little tighter? And I think you said this yesterday, Brian. I'll just echo it. If he allows four, score five. You know what I mean? Like, give him an opportunity. He'll give you a chance to win. You go and try and win or try and take
Right. He's not giving up seven goals on seven shots to start the game tonight. He's a legitimate NHL goalie. It's not ideal, but nothing's going to be ideal. You're dealing with a sport where injuries pop up. You're familiar with him. And I think it's a lock. You have to go with him. I don't know what Sheldon Keefe is even waiting for. Like, it's not like you're going to psych out Ottawa. Who's in net tomorrow night? Maybe it was wondering if Freddie got, like, a lot of workload. Maybe they wanted to look at some of the underlying numbers. But you got Montreal on tap on Saturday night. You have to go with Hutch tonight.
Yeah,
you have
absolutely.
To. You can't run Freddie Anderson into the ground. Look where you are in the standings. You're very comfortable. You know where you're going. You're getting back there. You're going to the playoffs. He's got to be fresh.
Well, here's the other thing, too. You run the risk that if the body is tired, you tweak something. And now all of a sudden you're chasing it going, well, you tweak something, he's out for 2 weeks. Well, guess how many games are in 2 weeks? 5 to 7 games.
Right.
So you have to manage the body properly for a guy like Frederick Anderson. Yes, he's a workhorse. He likes a workload. But here's an opportunity to play Hutchinson, to look forward to Montreal. I think this is a bit of a trap game, to be honest, because – you know, you won last night, you're going up to Ottawa, but you're looking ahead and you got a game on Saturday night too. You got to take care of business today before you try and take care of business Saturday.
Have to. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. This is one where, and that might have been a part of what Sheldon Keefe was aware of, you know, and
right.
he's probably thinking, Hutchinson, that can affect the mentality of a team. Like, oh, you can speak to this better than we can. When you're playing a bad team in Ottawa, who you should win anyway, you're at home, and then your backup goalie's not even your backup, your third stringer is in there, and you got a big game on Saturday, you hit it right on the nail,
right.
Noodles. This is the epitome of a trap game. Like,
right.
epitome of a trap game. If you've been around sports long enough, you can't think of one that's more obvious than tonight.
Right.
But you can't throw away points.
No,
you gotta get these.
I do think the one thing that would take away from a trap game in this particular circumstance, Brian, is the fact that every game seems so important. They're supposed to play 56. I don't know if anybody really believes they're going to play 56. So it's like the importance of every game. If they get to 45 or 40 or 48 or something, it's like that's not that big of a season. So I think it's almost like every game has importance to it. And I think if the third string goalie goes in net for one game, it's like, okay, let's get this done, because they know this town and how big every game is in this Canadian division. That's the only thing that might detract from that classic trap game you just mentioned.
Right, and the other guys you also talked about who are looking to pad the stats but also feel good about their game. You know, like John Tavares, William Nylander, Hyman, you know, guys further down the list, they should be thinking, we can't take our foot off the gas here. Not that
VC.
They would expect to be doing that. VC, exactly. Like, go out there and play. You're playing for your lives here.
Right.
You're playing for your jobs. Those guys are. Tavares and Nylander aren't, clearly.
No, but you're playing for, to your point, you're playing to be in the lineup when it is critical. VC, you know, we've gone through a laundry list of guys at the bottom of the roster where there's still tryouts. This is a tryout for Sheldon Keefe and to play later into the season with this group when it matters. And that's the challenge. And you're right, this is an important game. And, I don't know where you guys are at, but I'm starting to believe this isn't going to be 56 games and you're going to be going on points percentage.
I think they'll play 56 up here. Why wouldn't you do that up here?
Like, why would they do
different than down there? I don't think they're getting to 56 whatsoever.
I started looking at it. You know, Jersey played their 10th game last night. Vancouver's played 20. Like, you know, there's teams that are obviously in the middle of that, but I was going through kind of the bottom of the roster, the standings, and you're like, nah, that team really, I have no idea what that team's been doing, because, like, look at Dallas.
The biggest concern is Dallas.
They get shut down for COVID, and now there's a power failure. They just keep canceling games, and all hell's breaking loose. They may have to move them kind of like the San Jose situation. Get them out of there.
Well, I think that is a really reasonable idea, Noodles, because by all accounts, the state of Texas, what is going on down there is really terrifying.
It's insane.
Like,
dude.
Really, really scary. And it's getting coverage. It would get so much more coverage if it weren't for COVID, because every network would be down. There'd be 24/7. I mean, the whole state and big parts of the state are really, really dealing with damage control right now. And I believe they just announced Dallas-Tampa. That game is already canceled, the one they were supposed to play on Saturday night.
Yes, it's canceled.
But Dallas has played 12 games. So with all of that said, they've still played more than New Jersey. I believe they've played as much as Buffalo, if not more than Buffalo.
Same amount.
So, you know, maybe they shave off, you know, four games if it gets to that point. What I'm saying is I don't think you need balance with all four divisions. I don't think you need equal amount of games played across the board. You need it within the division.
Right.
So if Dallas can't get to 56, then Chicago can't, in my opinion.
But if the other divisions are going to play 42 games or 45, why the hell would people in the Canadian division say, why are we going out there and busting our ass and risking injury?
Well, I'll tell you what the answer is going to be. We work
television?
For one of the companies. Absolutely.
Right.
You think TSN and Sportsnet are giving
business.
Up Leaf games because Dallas can't play? No chance.
No, you're right. I don't disagree with you, Brian. Like, I think if you're in a situation, I'm going to continue to knock on wood. If you're in a situation where the Northern Division hasn't had a situation like we're seeing south of the border, where teams have been flat shut down for 10 days and 2 weeks. And like Philadelphia, you see who's playing for Philadelphia tonight? Like they're missing four or five of their big players, but there's enough guys
to play. They got to play.
You got to go play. Like that hasn't happened yet north of the border. I don't know if it will. You hope it doesn't, but that's the type of stuff where you're right. Maybe that division only gets to 48 and you get everyone to 48. Regardless if you've got players or not, type of thing. And if north of the border they can get to 56, have at it. You know, you'll deal with those teams in the conference finals.
Exactly.
Really.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it would be fair, but I think business will prevail here. And as long as there is balance within the division, which is determining playoff slotting and who you're going to play in the first two rounds, by the time you get to the cup final, I don't think there will be a benefit, you know, that you played 56, they played 48. I think it will all equal out. But it's also too early into this. I mean, we saw it with baseball. We saw a lot of issues early on. They got there. Different sport.
Right.
You could play doubleheaders, seven innings, all that. The NBA has dealt with a lot of issues as well. It appears as if they're going to all catch up and get there in the end. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the NHL. The Raptors are back in action tonight. They're in Milwaukee. Kyle Lowry is questionable to play. kind of sense like he won't, and he probably shouldn't. I mean, they are desperate. They start 2-8. They lose to Minnesota, like we pointed out. You got to keep chugging here. But there's a part of me that's curious to see how they'll respond without him. Like, if he doesn't play, you're coming off probably the most impressive win of the year. You're back at Milwaukee tonight. They can find a way to win tonight without Lowry. That is just such a morale boost and would easily be the most impressive win. Easily.
I agree. But they've got to find a way. Like, you know, I don't know. We didn't ask Matty Devlin about trust in Siakam at critical times and stuff like that. But you need the players that you pay a lot of money to step up. Fred
Absolutely.
Has been the – I guess Fred – I mean, Fred's been their MVP. He's been their
– He's been my MVP on this team for sure.
I'm concerned about Milwaukee snapping out of it sooner or later. They got a fairly unimpressive record for a team that has Larry O.B. aspirations.
Yep.
And I just wonder when that's coming, because it's coming sooner or later where they're like, okay, the joke's over here, and we're going to start squashing teams.
I haven't seen the spread, but I would assume it's rather significant tonight. I would think Milwaukee is a favorite, probably a big favorite, and should be a big favorite, because – you're looking at bounce back. You're looking at, you know, Giannis, who was kept in check, relatively speaking, a couple of nights ago. Yeah, right. They're a 6-point favorite tonight, Milwaukee. And that number might move if Lowry doesn't play. And I think you're probably right, O, but we're pretty far into the year. You know, we're 30 games into the season, basically, or 20, 25 games into the season, and they haven't separated themselves. Milwaukee has not looked like that juggernaut we thought they'd be. And maybe it's because they realize we're going to get there anyway, as long as we have our A game come playoff time. You know, it's
maybe
all
so.
Good. But if that is their mentality, then maybe the Raptors can take advantage of it tonight, because you take two wins at Milwaukee over the course of three nights. That is potentially a platform to launch you back into where you want to be. So that's going to be a big game tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. That Fernando Tatis Jr. contract last night, we will get into it extensively. Ooh. 14 years, $340 million, full no trade. He's played 143 games in the major leagues, 629 plate appearances, and he's making $340 million over 14 years.
Like, that's my question with that one is, would he have signed the Acuna deal? Like, if you said to him, you're such a young guy, we know you are a superstar, a lot of people view you as the next one. He's kind of regarded as kind of an A-Rod type prospect, where it's like, this guy is going to be the best player in the game for a long time. But, like, it's just, wouldn't he have said yes to $100 million, or is he way beyond that where it's like, no, this is the full treatment here, make it $350 million? That's what I always wonder.
He must have had great representation, because I think that Acuna deal, it is – maybe the greatest contract in the history of baseball, that Anthopoulos got him to sign that. Like, we'll see. If his body breaks down and he doesn't turn into a great player, he already is a great player. But if
Funny how that's flipped in a year and a half. Like, it went from outrageous that this guy played 1 year, I believe, in the majors. He signed for $100 million.
Yep.
And we were talking about Vladdy Guerrero possibly that being tossed at him or whatever, and that hasn't materialized. But that went from kind of outrageous to like a bargain in some degree within a year and a half.
Based on this comparison, it is.
No kidding.
Tatis Jr. is getting $240 million more dollars for four more years on the deal. And you can argue which one's the better player, but it's not like an obvious choice. Like, Acuna is unbelievable, and Tatis Jr. is as well. But I think this is the biggest gamble in sports history. Like, I can't think of another contract that even comes close.
No question.
Because
relative terms, I've got one.
Who do you got?
Rick DiPietro.
Yeah, you're right. DiPietro, that was brutal. And that, yes, in retrospect.
But relative terms, because, you know, the money is just so different, right?
Like, it is. I guess what I'm – and that is a good example. It's a very valid
that
one.
That one was crazy.
This guy, 143 games. By all accounts, he got the personality, the swag, and it's multi-layered. It's not just about simple production in the box. It's jersey sales. If you get to a World Series and win it, being the face of an organization, what it means for the market, and he's got all that, and I get it. From an ownership standpoint, they've clearly crunched the numbers and said it's worth it. But what if in 3 years his body breaks down?
No kidding. You know, this guy signed a $16 million deal and he's ultimately a bust. This is $340 million.
Full no trade for 14 years. We'll get into it with Dallas Braden later this afternoon. Joe Thornton with some interesting comments about Austin Matthews and where he stands league-wide. We'll get into it, and we'll go around the table on it next. All right, Ray will join us in about 20 minutes. Joe Thornton was feeling it last night. He missed out on a couple of goals. The first one, you know, I think should have been a good goal. I understand why it's not. The second one was clearly a high stick. But, hey, they got the win, and he was feeling it last night post-game because he was doing his Zoom meeting, and he was asked about Austin Matthews and him scoring again last night. And when he was asked to detail what he thinks of his game now that he's up close and personal and what he's seen this year, here's what Thornton said last night.
There's probably two or three guys that I've played with that does what he does, but he's on, you know, a different level. He just competes so hard. You know, I think he should be up, you know, for 18 games in or whatever we are for, you know, Selke, Hart, Rocket. You know, he does so many things, and he just plays the game the right way. And, you know, I really enjoy watching him play and playing alongside of him. He's a complete package.
So high praise. You know, that's his boy now. It's his line mate. It's his guy. So, of course, he's going to pump his tires a little bit. But we figured we're about a third of the way through the season. And with what Jumbo said last night, maybe we go around the table here with our top five Hart choices as it currently stands. Because Jumbo's saying he thinks Matthews should be in on the Selke and on the Hart. You don't vote for the Rocket, but if it were given out tonight, he'd win it. So let's go five down to one. We'll be relatively quick, and we'll get into the Matthews, McDavid topics throughout the afternoon and what Jumbo said. Oh, do you want to kickstart the party here?
I always do. And would you like me to start with five and continue?
Yeah,
on
you can
up
make your
one?
Way down. I think five down to one.
At number five, I have Brad Marchand from the Boston Bruins. Once again, the Bruins are incredible, and there was a time frame where no Pasternak and Marchand was unreal for the Bruins, scoring shorthanded, scoring all over the place. At number four, I've got Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers. Wow. I don't want to hear this, even the look right there. Like, I don't need the look.
From me or from him?
No, from him. He gave me the old horse eye. And
I was surprised. I didn't think you'd have McDavid.
It's his list. He's allowed to.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Connor McDavid at number four. I just think that as amazing as he is, the points are incredible. But, Hayes, you have it in your mind that he's just the automatic Hart trophy every year. And maybe I'm trying to spice it up a little bit and say there's different guys that can do this. At number three, I have Patrick Kane, the leader of the surprising Chicago Blackhawks. Everyone thought these guys were going to be garbage. And Patty Kane, about seven games into the season, said, "This is a garbage start, but we're getting home now for a long time, and we have a chance to make a difference and turn this thing around." And that's exactly what they've done. At number two, hoobie-dooby-doo, Jonathan Huberdeau of the Florida Panthers. He has been lights out. Mm-hmm. Coach Q and the Panthers have been lights out. And he's thrown his name into the mix. And number one, Austin Matthews, Toronto Maple Leafs. It's okay, people in the media or anyone else voting. Maybe people will have a higher amount of points, but they'll have more takeaways in their own zone and all the other stupid things you want to think of. But it's okay to acknowledge the best goal scorer in the game on a really good team. Hayes, go ahead.
I like it. Well, do you want me to go noodles, or do you want to?
Up to you. I mean,
you
go want
ahead.
Me to follow? I'll follow
that. You go ahead. I like that list, though.
It's a good list.
I mean, I've got a lot of this. I think I have the same guys.
I think we almost have the same. Yeah, I've got one different, I think, but let's fire it up.
Go ahead.
I went off the board at five, and I want to make a compelling case. At five, I went for Joe Pavelski because of what I was talking about earlier. We're going to sit here and judge because this guy's got that amount of goals and this guy's got that amount. But the playing field's not level right now because Quinn Hughes has 20 assists. He's played 20 games. Mm-hmm. You know, there's teams that played 10 games. Pavelski has 9 goals in 12 games. Now, I don't know if that pace. I know it's not sustainable, but he's been fantastic.
Been
And Dallas has been an absolute fiasco,
you know,
as far as sickness.
And
this guy's at 1.4 plus points per game early on. He has 17 points in 12 games. He's had a great start. So I put him at five. It's a little off the board, but that was my compelling argument for it. At four, I had Patty Kane. Everything that you said, I agreed 100% because we thought Chicago was going to be absolute garbage this year. Kane has dragged that team to the point where they're second in their, or tied for first in that division, really. and they're doing a good job, and it's Patty Kane. At number three is where I put Austin Matthews. You know, the goals are great because, yes, the even strength, all of that stuff. He's a great player. He's going to be in the conversation. I think he'll be a finalist. But you know what? I just think that there's the two guys I have ahead of him are more important to their team because I think Austin Matthews has a supporting cast, whereas at number two, Huberto, Florida is not number one in the NHL in point percentage if it's not for Jonathan Huberto. That team is farther down in the standings where I would argue that the Leafs could still have a lot of success, not as much with Matthews, obviously, but that's the definition of MVP for me. So I had Huberto at two. And at one is McDavid. The guy's got 32 points in 17 games. Like, he's the best player on the planet, and he's showing it. And where would Edmonton be? They're in a playoff spot right now, and playoffs are a big part of my criteria as well. And McDavid has shown there's a reason why he's chewing this league up.
My yep. one point about Austin Matthews, you just mentioned Huberto. I think you could argue that Austin Matthews, the consistency of the goal scoring, the even strength, I just think it's so important to where their record is.
That's true. I
think it's time. Here's what I'll say before I get to my list. We always say, where would Edmonton be without McDavid? Where would Florida be without Huberto? Where would the Leafs be without Matthews is also included.
They have a
better supporting cast, but they wouldn't be close to where they are without him.
Yeah, they have a better supporting cast written down on paper. They're not necessarily dialing it in right now and saying, we're lighting it up every night too.
No, I think Matthews has just as much of a case in that category. Yeah. I would put him a step behind McDavid, a step behind McDavid. But I think clearly this team is nowhere close to where they'd be right now without him. I have on my list, I have Scheifele at five. I think he's playing the best he's ever played. I think he's top five in minutes per game up front. He's got, 22 points in 17 games?
Yeah, he's been great.
Pierre-Luc Dubois is not playing. You know, he'll be there eventually to insulate him a little bit. Laine only played three games and he was out. Not as much talent around him. And Scheifele's been very, very solid. I have Huberto at four. His numbers are off the charts. He's not playing that many minutes, though. You look at his minutes per game, which doesn't need to be a barometer of whether or not you move into the top three or not, but he's only averaging, I think, under 18 minutes a night, which is surprising. Barkov is still playing like 22 or whatever. Barkov, I think, is still the straw that stirs the drink there, but Huberto has been so good. Kane at three, I'm shocked Chicago is where they are. Like, shocked. Their own team sent out a statement saying we're brutal and we're going to be brutal. Jonathan Toews isn't playing. Kirby Dach isn't there. They found a goalie out of left field. But
yeah,
Kane
good.
Is a rock star, and I think he's just getting going. I feel like in another 20 games, he may be even further up the lineup. But for me, it is a two-horse race. It is a two-horse race. And these two guys, for me, are 1A, 1B. They really are. I will have Matthews at two, and I have McDavid at one. And the reason I have McDavid slightly ahead of Matthews, the points jump off the page. I don't think anyone can keep up with him outside of Draisaitl, and quite frankly, I think he might lap him by 10 points. I wouldn't be shocked if McDavid beat Draisaitl by 10 points. His line mates, he's playing with RNH and Puljujärvi, basically, where Matthews is riding with Marner. And his team needs him a little bit more. And I will say this based on the narrative. I am a narrative voter. He wears the crown for me. So you got to go steal it. You got to go take it. But I think Matthews is so close because I think if he wins the Rocket, which I believe he will, and he gets some separation, that adds to it.
But he can't be a Cy Young. He's got to get more points.
He really does. He's top 10
I know
right
he's got to be
points.
Top 10. He has
gotta,
to.
He can't. But he's the not going to catch that, McDavid though. He's not, that's not going to happen.
But my point is what I was just saying is all of these other teams, if they've got to, like Pavelski, all of these guys are going to catch up in games. He's got to stay there for me because you're right. I think he has a chance to win the Rocket. I think he's going to be a finalist for the Hart. It's crazy. The only reason I didn't have Draisaitl in there is because of McDavid. The only reason I didn't have Marner in there is because of Matthews.
That's right, exactly.
Because both of those guys could be in that conversation easily.
Austin Matthews has to start like loading up on points if he's going to sniff around there.
That's my only takeaway for Austin.
Yes, it's the one thing he has to do to
remain.
He's
got to keep pace.
In that conversation.
You're right.
And if I could rate the three lists, I go me, Noodles, and then Hayes, as far as what I saw.
How do you figure?
I'm just saying.
I have mine. They're just basically the same as yours in terms of
But you're just the guy that says, don't Austin, finally start giving it, you know, credit to a Toronto guy. And then
listen,
you totally slapped him right in the face.
Like you said, I think McDavid is the best player in the world.
Yeah, you slapped our guy in the face. That's what you did.
Well, here's the case for McDavid. We'll expand on this with Ray. If he is the best player on the planet, playing the best he's played, and his team makes the playoffs, that is very difficult to beat. Like, it just is difficult to beat. If you're the
best player, and some argue even if they don't make it to the playoffs, he still should get it.
I don't agree with that, but yes, you're right. There are compelling arguments for that. Talk to Mike Trout, who's won a bunch of MVPs. His team never goes to the playoffs. But Matthew's case will be best player on a very good team, maybe a top three team in the league if they get there, best goal scorer, and if he separates himself from the Rocket, maybe that compensates for McDavid separating in the Art Ross, right? Like, if he scores 6-7 more goals than anyone else, that should count for something and count for something significant. Right. They both play a million minutes, too. They both average, like, 22.5 minutes a game. We'll get into this more with Ray. We'll see what he has to say. We'll narrow it down on McDavid and Matthews in particular and what has to happen for those two. McDavid hitting 500 points last night. We'll bring Sid into the conversation on that. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.